This is Pastor Jim Crisson for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. In the reality of today's world, everyone has questions. How do we get here and how do we move forward? You are invited to join us in worship on Sunday mornings as we provide answers to these and other important questions of the hour. Of course, there is only one answer, and that is the love of Jesus, our Christ and Redeemer. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. If you're looking for a church home and the fellowship of a faith community to sustain and uphold you as you move forward in your journey, please join us at 10:30 Sunday mornings by Zoom or in-person worship at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs. Visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org. You are welcome to join us at Rock Springs First Methodist Church.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage with Reverend Jimmy Crisson on Sunday, June 6, 2021.
Good morning. Like to welcome you to worship this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and it is a beautiful Sunday morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Oh God, we are gathered here under the shelter of your wings, nurtured and encouraged to fly by faith on the wind of your Spirit. You have spoken to us, saying, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Teach us how to wait, that we may learn how to fly. May this nest be that we call church be built with sturdy materials. Don't let us forget, this nest was not created as a fortress behind which to hide, but as a perch from which to take off. Strengthen us with the assurance that we do not fly alone. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If not, let us center ourselves in silence as we pray. Come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O gracious and loving God, we thank you. We thank you and praise you for your blessings in our lives. Sometimes the blessings are great, but they're always blessings present, large or small. And Father, let us be ever grateful for each blessing. Let us not turn our back on it, but let us see it. Let us acknowledge it. Let us know it. From the simplest of blessings, such as having a safe place to live, food to eat, clean water to drink, to other blessings greater than that. But let us not forget the greatest blessing that we have is your love and the love of others in our lives. For those who will be with us when we weep, laugh with us when we laugh, celebrate with us when we celebrate. Father, let us be ever grateful for the blessings in our lives. And Father, help us to see the good around us, to focus on the good and the blessings more than the loss or the brokenness. Father, hear our prayers for the needs we've lifted up aloud and those silently upon our hearts. Father, you know each and every need, each and every one. Father, you know them intimately. You know the details. So, Father, we just leave them in your loving arms. in your powerful embrace, trusting in your good, your love, even when we don't understand. And Father, we come and we bring other needs of our hearts and lives before you. It seems we always have a list to pray for one another, to pray for our community, to pray for those who serve our nation, to pray for those who serve others, to pray for leaders and leadership, for my local communities, to the nations around the world. Father, we would pray today for revival in the world, a renewing of faith, a recalling to principles of Christian love and grace, integrity, honesty. Father, we pray today for the brokenness that is often around us, that you would bind up and heal, that you would bless and uphold, that you would give hope to the hopeless, strength to the weary. Father, that you would bless those who give care to those who are shut-ins or in hospitals or nursing homes. And Father, bless those who receive that care. Grant unto them your grace, your peace. And Father, we pray today that you hear us, that you hear us as we pray all of this in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, our Christ. Amen.
Today our reading comes from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." He called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want you to write down three words. Three words. Doubt. The word doubt. Deception. Doubt. Deception. division, doubt, deception, and division. Three tools of the enemy to those who are called Christian, for those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Even these three things can cause us to struggle. In this text, it's an odd-sounding text, and even Doris had called me to be sure this was the right one for today. She said it starts out odd and different, and indeed it does. So as you look at this text, it seems like it's disjointed, so to speak, but so is the way of the Gospel of Mark. Mark is a gospel that is following the preaching and teachings of Peter and using the text that Peter used, which were the words of Christ, and putting all that together and putting it sort of disjointed, but it's not disjointed, I promise. There are two more words to write down just for your edification. If you're going to read the book of Mark, there's two things that Mark focuses on. One is fear. The other is faith. Fear and faith. Fear and faith. As this text begins, Jesus has been healing. He's been casting out demons. He's been improving people's lives to the point now that he goes back home to Capernaum. He goes back there and he tries to get away, but the crowds press in on him. He's in a house. He's at his home, if you will. He's at a house. A home is that place in which you're invited. And I need you to understand that this house in which Jesus was would have been a total size no more than this section of the church. This would have been the whole of his home, this pew section here. There are literally hundreds and thousands of people thronging Jesus. They're pushing in on him so much so they don't even give him time to eat a meal. He has no rest. He has no opportunity to collect his thoughts. They're all around him. They're pressing in. And that's why it says, and he couldn't even eat. There wasn't even time, there wasn't space. And Mark writes of Jesus, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat with his family. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him. They wanted to pull Jesus back. They wanted to ask him, what are you doing? Come back. There are many ways that division occurs. There are many ways that we can be divided. There are many ways that it's mentioned in Scripture. One is fear. We fear that which is unknown. We fear that which isn't the way we want it. We fear that which we struggle with ourselves. We often put our own fears off on someone else. How many of you are afraid of heights? You're afraid of to get up on a tall space and look over the edge. My little Carrie's not much afraid of them. She scares me to death when we're out walking in the desert. She gets over on the edge of those cliffs and loose shell all around her, and she's peering down. Look, look, you can see. Would you back up a little? I'm not afraid of heights, but anyway. But we often fear that, and we fear those who don't fear it. We're unsure and uncertain about it. There is one. How many of you are a studier of military history? Since this is D-Day celebration, anybody? A little bit. What is the most successful military strategy in the world today and yesterday and for thousands and thousands of years? Divide and conquer. It's always successful. Rome was a strong and powerful entity until it was divided into four kingdoms. And soon it would fall. I need to remind you that Israel was once a nation of people who had drawn and been brought into the Holy Land. They had established and received all of the blessings of God. And David had set up the kingdom. Saul had been there. He didn't do so good. But David had set up the kingdom of Israel. The tribes had their places. They had their they were blessed beyond belief. They were multiplying. They were growing in the land, and the land was prosperous. And then Solomon built the temple of David in the city of Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, the blessings became a division. And the southern kingdom, as they were to be called, was not the same as the northern kingdom, because the southern kingdom had Jerusalem, and they had the temple, and they had the priest, and they had all the things. And now we got to trek all the way down there. They didn't have to. God had said, build tabernacles wherever you are. They had already built them all over the land. And then there was division in the land of Israel. God's people standing in the promised land. The fulfillment of God's plan for them was literally in their hands and under their feet. But could they see it? No. Could they enjoy it? No. Why not? Because they were focused and divided. Who had done that? The enemy had snuck in the camp and divided them. They were all Israelites, Hebrews. They were God's chosen people, but in the midst of them, they become divided. And in about 1000 B.C., the northern kingdom falls to the Assyrian Empire, while the southern kingdom says, you got what you deserved. And in 587, the southern kingdom was destroyed by the Babylonians. And there would be no more Israel for 2,000 years until 1948. Pastor, why'd you give us that big, long Israel story? Let's see if we can spot it. So now you got his family. They want to pull him out. They want to divide him out of the crowd. And he says he's gone out of his mind. And the scribes who came, they're always there, aren't they? You see, they come in. They're the authoritarians. They're the professional religionists. They are the professional preachers. They are the ones that know the law. They're the ones that can tell us what we need to know. And they know everything, and they can't ever be wrong. So they show up, and they said, he's the devil. He's the devil. He's Beelzebul. He's the devil, and he's casting out his own demons. Now, if you just sat down for a minute, that makes no sense. Because in order to do this, they had to ignore something. They had to ignore all of the good that Jesus was doing. They had to ignore the blind that could see, the lame that could walk. They had to ignore that those people tormented with demons were now normal among their society, and that evil influence had been... So you see, they ignored the good. Israel had ignored the good. And Jesus is about to punch the scribes in the nose of the big red glove when he says a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Oops. He goes back to that divided Israel, and it was the religious elite that divided the nation. Division and doubt. You see, they just sowed the seeds of doubt. And the seeds of doubt are being sown in this scene out of fear. Fear of who Jesus is. Fear of what Jesus can do. Fear of the unknown. Fear of losing their position in society. Afraid that they would have to humble themselves and actually serve the people as God had called them to. A house... How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. This is true today. This is true today. A relationship that is divided doesn't last. For doubt and deception is easily creeping in. A divided community disintegrates. A divided home falls apart. If it doesn't fall apart, it produces dysfunction. And then you deal with it in the schools and the behaviors and other places. A divided community disintegrates the values, morals, and integrities that built it and made it strong disappear. And anything begins to come in and creep in, doubt and division. A nation divided, it falls. I would pray that we would be one nation under God. And you see, the problem is there is only one common ground that will unite humanity around the globe, in our homes, in our cities, in our communities, in the nation, and in the world. There's only one common thing, and that is Jesus Christ. No, it's not God. Jesus gives us the way to God. You see, there's a lot of God talk in the world, and God talk's cool. God talk's all right, because God can equal a fuzzy stuffed animal in a closet somewhere. God can equal some kind of Buddhistic thing, or it can equal any other thing. It's Jesus Christ that is the Son of God. Notice what he says in verse 27. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. In other words, I know you're trying to kill me. I know you want rid of me, Jesus is saying to them. You just want to plunder the house. 28, truly I tell you, people will be forgiven their sins. And whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of sin eternally. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. What is blasphemy? Anybody want to take the test? What is blasphemy? Denying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah. That is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit calls us. Wesley said that the Holy Spirit was seductive, that it calls us to Christ, that it wants to embrace us, hold us, and offer to us redemption and salvation. Denying the Holy Spirit leaves you condemned. Denying Christ leaves you condemned. That's the conversation that has to happen. Jesus is alive. Jesus is coming again. It's the tenets of our faith as Christians that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way unto God. We need to have Jesus conversations, conversations about the living grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's the only common ground that gives us peace, that gives us forgiveness, that gives us hope, that gives us unity, because we're all the same. Notice what goes on next. Then his mother and his brothers came standing outside, and they sent to him and called to, oh, by the way, for some people have heard that some people believe that Mary only had one baby. She was a virgin when she conceived. She had Jesus, and she was a virgin afterwards. They don't read the book, because here it's clearly there that Jesus' brothers came along with his mother and go call to him. Have you read the book of James? By the way, that James is the half-brother of Jesus, so just kind of get that in your mind and just think about it a little bit. I wonder about that. So a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, did you see that? Your mother and your brothers and your sisters. He had brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. They're outside. What do they want? Your mother and brothers are asking for you. And Jesus replied, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? In other words, don't let family divide you from the family of God. So often, family gets in a struggle about church, about faith. They get into struggles. Maybe this has never happened to anybody else, but some people just, you know, they have people that don't want to go. They don't want to be a part. They don't want to be Jesus people. They just want to kind of get some insurance policy going on, and that's sufficient. How many of you have given your life to Christ? I like the old church habit of calling you brother and sister. For that's who we are. Paul says that when we accept Christ, we are adopted into the family of God and we become brothers and sisters. Grab your hymnal real quick. The fat, thick one, hard-backed one. You're going to be singing this in a few minutes. Turn to 620. That means you already have your page found. Give you a little shortcut. I'm hurrying because I know this is Communion Sunday. I'm not really hurrying. It's just... Hope that'll make you feel good. I want you to look at these three verses with me real quick. Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. Many the gifts, many the works, one in the Lord of all. Grain for the fields, scattered and grown, gathered to one for all. One bread, one body, one Lord. You see, being in the family of God levels the field. It isn't about who has more or who has less. Those become divisions of jealousy and fear, fear of not having. The biggest and greatest enemy that we have, church, hear this morning, is doubt. Doubting, number one, that God loves you. Doubting that God's a work in your life. Doubting God's love for you. Never doubt that. It's poured out on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for every one of us. The next thing is, don't focus this deception. This deception wants you to see all that you don't have, could have had, and think you should have, instead of all that you have. To be thankful for the blessings that you have. Sometimes we just overlook them. I've noticed that all of you this morning are very well dressed. Thank you. Nobody showed up undressed. Nobody has gotten undressed while you're here. When I was a police officer, one of the, I'm not going to use any names. I'm going to call her Joe. I got a call to go out to the Church of God and that they were having worship service and that there was a calamity taking place. And so I get in the police car and I'm trying to imagine what's going on at church on a Sunday morning. You know, why they need the police out there. And Lord help them, they had a streaker in the middle of the church. This woman had hid in the back of the church, and after all, they were in the middle of it. They were in their prayer time. They were speaking in tongues and having a big time in the Lord. She come out among them. And she was running up and down the aisle naked, and they didn't know what to do. So I had to go into a church on a Sunday morning as a police officer and arrest this naked woman. There was some division sown that morning. So thank you for having clothes. You know, I would probably pass out, you know, if I had. Can you imagine? Anyway, that's an aside. But he wants to bring division. He wants to bring it through doubt. He wants to bring that division of what we don't have. We have to be careful. Everybody in this passage this morning failed to realize, celebrate what they had. They failed to see the good. Israel divided over north and south because somebody didn't get the temple and somebody did. Guess what? They were going to build it somewhere. So it wasn't going to be somewhere. It was going to be someplace. Somebody's going to have a new car. Somebody ain't going to have one. Somebody's going to have an old one. Somebody's going to have a good one. Somebody's going to have a bad one. You're all going to have your blessings. You're all going to have your problems. We need to look at more the blessings than we do the problems. We need to be grateful and thankful. Don't do what they did. And let it be divided through doubt and deception. That division is seeking to destroy our families today, our communities today, the nations in the world today. It's all about divide and conquer, The devil's at work when you see it. When God's at work, he's about harmony. When God's at work, it's about bringing us together. It's about loving one another. Anything else outside of that, let's give it to Beelzebub. Let's give it to Satan. A divided kingdom cannot stand. And Christ is the common ground that gives us hope, that gives us peace, if we let it. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. In a moment of silence, reflect on this where you are. In a few minutes, in a part of the service, we're going to have an opportunity to share praises. But right now, as we get ready to come to the table, what are you thankful for? How are you blessed? Were you able to even dress yourself today? You're able to be at church this morning, to sit with friends, brothers and sisters. You're going to have an opportunity to come to the table and to receive the body and the blood of Christ. There is so much to be blessed and grateful for. Be careful that the enemy doesn't enter in sowing doubt and deception, from which there can come division, anger, hatred, and all the other things that come, jealousy. Focus and be grateful for God's blessings in our lives. Be grateful. Don't let him come in and sow doubt and deception. Our gracious and loving God, may we praise you, honor you, and glorify you. Help us to focus on that which we have, to praise you in it, to not allow doubt and division to bring in bitterness and jealousy, anger and frustration. Father, don't let us lose focus of our blessings. Father, in every situation we face in life, there is something there that you want us to see. There's something there that you want us to know. There's a blessing in everything if we give it to you, as hard as it may be, as difficult as it can be. Father, give us strength to see that which we have as a gift and blessing from you. Don't let doubt and deception and division come among us, but let us be joined in you, the risen, resurrected, and living Lord Jesus Christ, who is our propitiation for sin, who is our advocate seated at your right hand, our common ground, our Savior, our Redeemer. Hear our prayers in Christ's name. Amen. Join me. May we go to count our blessings, to be not deceived or to allow doubt to enter in, where division could come and steal away friendships, relationships, loved ones, families, and communities. May we go knowing the blessings of God in our life, large and small, and may we share that goodness and grace which is Christ in whatever way God gives us opportunity. And may we go centered in Christ, trusting in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.